You're never going to see the Burkholder family up here doing that. Wasn't that wonderful? What a great element to our Father's Day service. Thanks. I appreciated what Paul had us do as we began our prayer time. He said, take a moment to thank God for your Father. This morning, as we continue to think about celebrating fathers, thanking God for the fathers that we have, I want to encourage you to think about what is the phrase, what is the word that comes to your mind as you think about giving thanks to your Father. Now, I recognize that some of you might have strained relationships with your father. Some of your fathers might not have been good fathers, godly fathers. But hopefully this morning on Father's Day, you can come up with a quality, with an attribute in your father that you can celebrate this morning, that you can thank God for. And as we come together as a body of Christ, brothers and sisters, the family of God, I want to give you a moment to share publicly what it is that you're thankful about in regards to your father. Just a word, just a phrase. Mark Stoner is going to come up here. He's going to be on the floor holding a mic. And I want to encourage you just to come up and just to share a word or a phrase that comes to your mind as you think about giving tribute and celebrating fathers. Who will be first? Be brave. Make your way out of the aisle. Why don't you come down here front and center, Mark? Maybe you can get us started. Just a phrase, though. I was giving Mark makes me nervous when I give him the mic.
Patience.
Patience. Great.
Servant's heart.
Servant's heart. Good. Don't be shy. You can come on down, wait in line.
It's a love for the gospel.
Love for the gospel, the good news of Jesus.
A model of being a believer, a steady, faithful believer.
My father is a very kind person.
He taught me to take God seriously in an age of people who don't.
His strength for and his love for God and his family.
He showed me how to wait on the Lord.
Many things my father left me. Probably one of the most important that I remember is the fact that he was a man who showed me what it was to be a provider in all ways for his family.
No flash, no dash, but steady as a rock.
Anybody else? Last chance. Thank you so much, Mark. You can just go ahead and I got it. What'd you say about no flash, no dash, Obi? Listen to what Dr. James Dobson says about fathers in his book, Bringing Up Boys. A father holds awesome power in the lives of his children, for good or for ill. Families have understood that fact for centuries. It has been said, no man stands so tall as when he stoops to help a boy. Another wise observer said, tie a boy to the right man and he almost never goes wrong. They are both right. When asked who their heroes are, The majority of boys who are fortunate enough to have a father will say, "It's my dad." For better or for worse, our fathers mark us for life. From a human perspective, our fathers have shaped us into who we are today. Certainly, mothers impact and shape us as well. But a father's impact on their son or daughter is profound and long-lasting. Who we are today is directly related to who our father is or was and the role that he has played in our lives. How has your father shaped and impacted who you are today? Even if your father was absent or disengaged, the impact of that on your life is significant. Here is the good news. Even though your father may not have been a positive influence on your life, in Christ, you can rise above those issues and live in the reality of who you are as a child of God. As we celebrate fathers this morning, I want to begin by reminding us, as fathers, we have a tremendous responsibility because who our children become is directly related to who we are as fathers. This is not to say we are responsible for the choices our children make. In fact, many of you with grown children may be carrying around much guilt because of regrets related to being a father. If that's the case, remind yourself daily, or however often you need to throughout your day, that your children are responsible for their choices, not you. But if necessary and appropriate, apologize to your son or daughter. The question that we want to focus on this morning is, what does being a faithful father look like? Take notice I didn't say, what does a successful father look like? What does a perfect father look like? God calls us to be faithful. As a father, as parents, God entrusts to us children. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. His goal isn't for us to be successful. His desire is that we would be faithful to what he entrusted to our care. And so as we think about and wrestle with the question, what does it mean to be faithful as a father? Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're going to be camped out this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So I want to encourage you to turn there. I also want you to know that even though the message is going to be primarily geared for individuals who have children at home, once a father, always a father, no matter what age you are as a father, no matter what age your children are, your impact and influence on them as a father continues on, both in the lives of your children and grandchildren. And here again, on Father's Day, I'm going to be speaking primarily to the context of fathers. But if you're a mother, this is really a message on parenting. What does it mean to be a faithful parent? The context of Deuteronomy chapter 6 is that the Israelites have just spent 40 years wandering in the desert, and they are now getting ready to enter the promised land. But before they enter the promised land, God uses Moses to give the Israelites some very critical instructions. Follow along as they read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. At the heart of this passage is a challenge for the Israelites to pass on their faith from one generation to the next. Look with me again at verses 1 and 2. These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Why? So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord. Moses clearly states the reason he is teaching them these decrees, these commandments, is so that their children and generations to come will walk in a way of obedience and living in the fear of the Lord. Let me ask you as a parent, as a father, a critical question. What goal do you have for your children? Maybe you have multiple goals for your children. Maybe they fall into one of these categories. Maybe you simply want your child to get good grades at school. That would be a goal, right? Maybe you want them to use their manners, be proper, to be respectful. Maybe your goal for them is that they would excel musically, play an instrument. Maybe your goal is that they excel in sports. Maybe your goal is that they graduate from college, get a good job. Whether you or your spouse have stated goals for your children or not, you do have goals for them. In addition to this, whether stated or not, your children know what your goals for them are. Whether you've ever articulated to your son or daughter, this is what is the goal that we have for you as a father, as a mother. You see, they understand what is important to you as a parent. My guess is that most of our children, even though they may or may not be able to articulate it, they want to please you. They want to be able to make you proud. And so they can sense what is important to you. They can sense what is your goal for them is. So it's critical that we understand, regardless of the age of our children, what is the goal that we have for our children? What is it that we're praying for, working towards, dreaming towards? My guess is that most of us want our children to be successful. Again, regardless of the age of your child, you want them to be successful. You want them to excel. Let me ask you, is that God's goal for your child? To be successful, to excel. You see, as we think about having a goal, goals for our children, it's critical that our goals align with what God wants for our children. Otherwise, we'll be working against the hand of God. What is it that God wants for our children? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see that the goal should be to pass on our faith to our children. In fact, look at the words that Moses uses to describe our relationship with God. Let's just walk through this passage and look at the words that Moses used to describe what our relationship, what our response to God should be. In verse 2, he says, "So that we may fear the Lord." Verse 3, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey." Skip down to verse 5. "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength." Skip down to verse 13. "Fear the Lord your God. Serve Him only." Skip down to verses 17 and 18. "Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees that He has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you. We see four words that describe our response, our relationship to God. We should fear God, we should obey God, we should love God, and we should serve God. The point that Moses is trying to make to the Israelites is that we should have a proper goal for our children. And that goal for our children should be that they fear, obey, love, and serve God. As we look at those four words, fear, obey, love, and serve, is there one that's a little bit more difficult for you to maybe get your hands around or to be comfortable with? I want to take a moment to just zero in on the word fear. If our children should fear God, if we should fear God, what does that look like? Does that make you a little uncomfortable? Is there negative connections and connotations to that word? Take a look at the your handout. I have a statement there that helps us to unpack what does it mean to fear the Lord. Here again, I think this is critical because throughout the Scripture we see that we should fear the Lord. In fact, in Proverbs it says that the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord in the Old Testament is used as a designation of true piety. It is a fear conjoined with love and hope, and therefore not a slavish dread, but rather a filial reverence. Now, if you're like me, you might be more confused than you were before, because there's a few words in there you don't necessarily use or may understand. So let's take a closer look at that. The fear of the Lord in the Old Testament is used as a designation of true piety. Piety is reverence for God, respect and awe. We should have a respect, a reverence, and an awe for God. It is a fear conjoined with love and hope, and is therefore not a slavish dread. In other words, word picture here. Picture how a slave would fear his master. This is not the fear that is being referenced in the Scriptures when it refers to the fear of the Lord. But rather, phileo is befitting a son or daughter or having the relationship of a child to a parent. In other words, as you think about the word the fear of the Lord, you need to think of it in the context of a loving relationship of a child to a parent. Fortunately for me, I've had the opportunity to grow up in a home where I knew my father loved me, where I loved my father. But when my mother said, "I am going to talk to your father when he gets in," guess what? There was a little bit of heart palpation. There was some fear of the Lord in there because I understood that Dad was in charge. That there was a price to pay for disobedience, that there was consequences. But that fear, catch this fear was in the context of a loving relationship. And so when we think about loving God and fearing God, I want you to see that they're the two sides to the same coin. To properly understand what it means to love God, you need to understand reverence, fear, respect for a holy and righteous God. To fully understand what does it mean to have that kind of fear and respect for a holy God, you need to understand it in the context of loving God. And so as you look at those four words, fear, obey, love, and serve, there's four different words and four different actions described by those words. But in many ways, you can take all four of those words and lump them together. Because those four words give us a complete picture of how you and I should respond and relate to a holy God. Those four words give us a context on how our children should respond and relate to a holy God. I appreciated what Frank said when he came up this morning. What was it that he appreciated in his father? He's referencing this respect, this awe for the holy God of the universe. In our culture, God is this friend, and we only see him as loving. If that's our context for understanding who God is and relating to God, we'll follow God on our own terms. There's a lot of people who follow God on their own terms because they don't have a healthy respect and fear for God. But at the same time, there's individuals who have grown up in the church, grown up in Christian homes, who are like, you better obey God. You don't want to go to hell. And built into the DNA of this little child is a fear for God without a context for what does it mean to truly love God. And so it's important, regardless of the cultural background that you come from, it's important for us as parents to make sure that we understand what the goal is for our children. The goal is to teach our children to respond to God properly. Defined here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 as to love, to obey, to fear, and to serve. But this is only half of the equation. We can have the proper goal, but no plan to carry it out. What is your parental game plan? Do you have one? Are you intentional as a parent? Here's the question. How are you going to help your children come to fear and to love God? First off, recognize that you can't make your children love God, fear God, serve God. Whether they're 2 or whether they're 40, it's not your job to make them do those things. But at the same time, as we think this morning, what does it mean to be a faithful father, a faithful parent, regardless of our age? Being intentional. Having a plan. What does that look like? Let's look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Start in verse 1. Again, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach who? To teach you to observe. Who is Moses speaking to? He's not speaking to the children. He's not speaking to the grandchildren. He's speaking to the adults. And probably in the cultural context, he's speaking to the men. He's speaking to the fathers. And he says, I am teaching you to observe these commands, decrees, and laws. If you look down at the end of verse 2, keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give who? Not your children, not your grandchildren, but you. Verse 5, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. It is a command that Moses is speaking to the fathers. And I think he sums it up well in verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, first and foremost. The second key to being a faithful father or parent, regardless of your age, is showing and modeling the way. In these verses, Moses is speaking to the parents, specifically the fathers, and what does he tell them? He tells them to obey God, to fear God, to love God, to serve Him. Moses understood that if generations to come were going to love and serve God, they would need to see it lived out. And you know what? Thousands of years later, it hasn't changed. If the generations to come are going to love and serve God, then they're going to need to see it lived out in our lives. Fathers, our children will follow our lead when it comes to God. Not 100% of the time, but that's the principle. Remember, built into a child is a desire to please their father, to make their father proud. If you love your children, and your children know that you love them, they will want to become like you. That's the way it's wired. Moses is saying, You need to lead the way. If a dad doesn't go to church, what are the chances their son or daughter will go? If reading and obeying the Bible isn't important to dad, what are the chances that it's going to be important to his children? If integrity, if the honesty isn't important to dad, what are the chances that integrity and honesty are going to be important to the children? Our children will adopt our values, our priorities in life. And if making money in a career is what is valued in your home, chances are that is what will be valued by your children. And you can replace making money or career with anything, and the principle applies the same. Here's the good news. If serving the Lord is valued in your home, chances are serving the Lord will be valued by your children. The second reason why showing and modeling the way is important is that children will rebel against hypocrisy. Here again, nothing you already don't know, but just a healthy reminder on Father's Day. Our children can see the inconsistencies in our lives better than anyone. And I'm not just talking about children that are in the context of 9 or 10 in a home. I'm talking about children who might be 30 years old. They can see the inconsistencies in a father. They can see if there's a disconnect between what we say and what we do. The best way to turn your child away from loving God and obeying God is to be a hypocrite. Act one way in public and a church, but then be someone different at home. What will be most effective, telling your kids to go and to love and serve God, or showing them what does it mean to love and to serve God? Again, not necessarily new concepts to any of us, but important reminders as we go into another week, as we go into another year. What does God call us to? He calls us to be faithful as fathers. If we're going to be faithful, then we need to show and model the way. Last off, look with me at verses 7 through 9. Moses says, "Impress them," referring to the commands, the laws and decrees, "on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Impress these commands on your children. How are you to do that? What's he say? Talk about them. When should you talk about them? When you sit. When you walk. When you lie down. When you go to bed. When you get up. In other words, throughout your day, throughout your daily routine, be talking to your children about God and spiritual things. Being a faithful father involves, point number three, interacting with your children about God and the Scriptures as you go about your day. In other words, loving and serving God should be part of who you are and what you're about, not something you add to your to-do list. Do you see the difference? Being a Christian, loving God, serving God, following God should be something, should not be something you do, but should be who you are. If it's who you are, it's not going to be a tack on. It's going to flow from and impact every area of your life. Your parent, your children can observe whether your faith is something you tack on every Sunday morning or when you go to church, or if it's something that impacts every area of your life. Because when our faith is part of who we are and what we're about, it will naturally flow from our lives into the lives of our children. I cannot stress enough the importance of teachable moments. You ever heard the phrase teachable moments? It's a critical phrase for parenting. It's what Moses was referencing here in Deuteronomy 6. He's saying, as you go about your day, Talk to your children about spiritual things, about God, about His Word, about His decrees. We have some elements up here that hopefully you can make the connection and relationship to with Father's Day. But as you think about teachable moments, as a youth pastor, I would want to communicate to the leaders that we don't have problems, whether it's on a retreat or at Wednesday night. We don't have problems. We have teachable moments. As a parent, the principle applies. Whether you have two children fighting over the same bicycle, same football, don't look at that as a problem. As a parent, that becomes a teachable moment to help your child relate biblical principles to that situation. Fights and conflicts become teachable moments. Discipline issues become teachable moments. Tears and disappointments become teachable moments. Doesn't mean that you don't show your child compassion, empathy, sympathy when they're going through a difficult situation. But at the same time, not only are you to love them, you're also able to help them to see biblical truths and how it relates to their situation. Anger and injustice become teachable moments. What about if your child doesn't make a sports team or ends up sitting on the bench because the coach's son is playing ahead of him? How do you respond as a parent? Does that become a teachable moment to talk about how Christ related to injustice? Teachable moments become an integral part of passing on our faith. Every day, you and I will be given teachable moments. Will you be able to see them? Will you be walking with God enough to take advantage of them? The more you help them to see how the Scriptures relate to their lives as a father, the better you'll be able to pass on your faith to them. Some people ask me about my parents. They say, what was it like to grow up in the Burkholder home? And I give them all these juicy stories. Nah. What they're really asking is, what did your parents do right? I mean, Jeff, you ended up a pastor, your sister's a missionary, your brothers serve the Lord. My answer is something like this. My parents weren't perfect people, and they would be the first to admit they make mistakes. But they showed and modeled us, what does it look like to fear, obey, love, and serve God? We had a visible, tangible picture of what that looked like. They didn't preach to us. Instead, they interacted with us. And believe me, there's a big difference between preaching and interacting about biblical truths and the Scriptures and our lives. You see, when we preach to our kids, and you don't probably feel like you preach to your kids, you're speaking down to your kids. But when you interact with your children, you place yourself on the same level with them. You understand that you're frail, that you're selfish, that you're sinful, that you're struggling to apply the very same principles that you're asking them to. You don't present yourself as someone who has it all figured out. You don't present yourself as someone who always loves God, always serves God, always obeys God. You understand that you're a sinner saved by grace. You're no better than them. You're working from the same challenges they are. And together, as a family, as a father and a son, or father and daughter, you're struggling together. What does it mean to love God, to serve God? As a boy, I can remember being with my dad on the farm. Working on the farm provides a lot of teachable moments. A lot of teachable moments. Too many teachable moments. One instance stands out in my mind as I was thinking about Father's Day, thinking about what Moses was calling us to as fathers. But it was a summer night, probably about this time of year, maybe in July, and we were working real hard to get the hay baled before it got dark. Because at dark, The dew would come, the hay would get wet, and you couldn't bale it. And I don't remember my specific age at this time, but I know I wasn't old enough to drive a tractor. And my dad was in a hurry to get the hay baled before it got wet, before it got dark. And so when the wagon got full, he continued to bale, and he just put all the bales right on the field, right on the ground. And so he took the tractor, the baler, the wagon in the barn, and by this time it's like 9:30, and so we got on another tractor, another wagon, and we went out and we manually picked up the bales, put them on the wagon. When we were all done, now it's probably like 10 o'clock at night. And I'm sure he doesn't even remember this. He turns off the tractor, he turns off the lights, and we sat on those hay bales and we looked at the stars. Didn't say a whole lot, was just a couple minutes, but was enough for Dad to say, "Jeff, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? What an amazing God we have. Look at the creation." Just acknowledging God, His power, His majesty, His beauty, as we looked at creation, was a teachable moment. It was a father teaching his son. But it wasn't planned. It wasn't a strategy. It came naturally from my dad's heart. It was something that my dad would do very naturally. Take a moment. Turn off the tractor. It's dark, out in the fields, away from all the lights, and look at the stars. How many teachable moments do you and I just blow by? Here's the good news. God's not looking for perfect fathers. My dad didn't always get it right. I certainly don't always get it right. And you're not always going to get it right. And we don't need to. Isn't that freeing? God's not looking for perfect fathers. However, He is looking for faithful fathers. Faithful fathers who have a goal for their children to fear, obey, love, and serve Him. Faithful fathers who will show and model the way. Faithful fathers who will interact with their children about God and the Scriptures throughout their daily routine because it's of an overflow out of their own walks with God. Ken Canfield writes this in his book, The Seven Secrets of Effective Fathers. Fathers may never get the opportunity to stand in the light of celebrity or athletic stardom, but every father will one day receive his gold medal. Perhaps it'll be the squeeze of your daughter's hand, and slight tears will come to your eyes as you realize how wonderful it is to be loved by such a person. Maybe it will be a summer afternoon years from now when you sit as an old man on the front porch in your rocker, simply looking out at your many happy grandchildren, enjoying the fact that you've done one of the most important jobs in the world and done it well. But all of these moments will fade momentarily from your memory at a more significant event. When you feel the weight of a divine hand on your shoulder and look up into the eyes of your Savior, He's smiling and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I call many people to different tasks, but I called you to be a father and gave you these children, some of the most precious people in the world to me, and you raised them wonderfully. Thank you." Let's take a moment to quiet our hearts before the Lord. What's heaviest on my heart right now is for the fathers in this room who are living with regrets, who wish they could do it over. It reminds you of two things. God can use your mistakes for His glory and for the good of your children. Let me also remind you once again, your children, not you, are responsible for their choices and actions. And as long as you're alive and your children are alive, you will always be their father. And it is never too late to show and to model the way. It's never too late to interact with your children about spiritual things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you can use imperfect dads like me. Lord, I pray that we would not use that as an excuse for not being faithful. But Lord, that this morning on Father's Day, regardless of our age, regardless of the age of our children, I pray that you would stir our hearts to align with you and what you want for us and for our children. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts first and foremost. That you would help us on a daily basis to respond to you properly. That we would grow in our love for you. That we would serve you. That we would fear you. That we would obey you. And I pray that our children would follow in our footsteps. Not just our children, but generations to come. Lord, we can't make our children love and serve and follow you. So, Lord, we petition you. We seek you for the sake of your name, for the sake of your kingdom. Do a spiritual work in our children's hearts so that they might know the joy of walking with you. So that they would be able to sing, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust in me." Lord, may that not just be a song they sing, but Lord, may that be what they experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.